Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Doctor's Orders. I am your host, Dr. Baker, the owner of the only business hospital in the world, servicing 14 countries, making sure that businesses are increasing in their business health every day. You know, it's the only thing that I wake up for from a work standpoint is to make sure that the businesses out here are getting the treatment they need in order to exist, in order to survive, to become more sustainable, to thrive, and to scale, grow, and make more money. Today is Trending Thursday, and if you've been following the show, every day is a different theme, so we're going to talk about some trends today. Really excited about today's guest. There's so much to talk about, so I can't really wait to get into it, but if you're out there and you're listening and you want to join today's conversation, you can do so by calling in at 859-291-2255. Once again, that's 859-291-2255. If you want to send me a message directly and you want me to follow up with you, you can do so at info@drbaker.us. Once again, that is info@drbaker.us. And so when we talk about trending topics, a lot of times we're speaking of things that are becoming popular, gaining momentum. And as a business owner, sometimes you're not sure what trend to follow. You know, if you are more of a traditional worker and, you know, you start seeing a lot of social media out there or you start seeing hashtags and different forms of technology, you may not even know how to engage with that to make your business better. Sometimes we look at how, you know, money is spent or where we should spend our dollars, and we're not sure what type of return we'll get because we might be following a trend and we don't know if it's tried and true. And so all of this can become very confusing for you as a business owner, especially when you're just simply trying to continue to pay your employees and keep lights on. You know, oftentimes that is a big time struggle for small business owners. You know, statistically, 62% of our country is run by small businesses. And that means that it's important, imperative that you run a very healthy business because of how many people are employed by these small businesses. And when we talk about small business on this show anyways, we're referencing companies that are $50 million and under, 500 employees or less. That includes your startups, your micro and boutique businesses, your tech founders, mom and pop shops. And so if you're listening, I'm certain that either you are part of that atmosphere for the most part, or you're thinking about starting a business. My goal is to bring you things that you need to think about and in ways that maybe you have not thought about them before, and ultimately act as a resource to help you grow and move your business right along. Well, with that, our guest today is Corey Blunt, a longtime NBA veteran and retiree, but also an entrepreneur and a person that after his basketball playing days has went and said, you know what, I want to be a business owner and I want to grow multiple lines of business. And oftentimes you'll hear a term called serial entrepreneur. I challenge that title very frequently because sometimes it references a person that has probably tried a lot of businesses but hasn't done them well. And in other instances, it's a person that has run multiple successful business, whether it's been in a linear fashion or it's been done simultaneously. Serial entrepreneur is kind of a new term that we have now embraced during this time frame that wasn't the case back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, where, you know, people would dive into that type of reality, but not anymore. You know, we live in a gig economy. For the most part, people are changing jobs quickly, and they have, you know, what we would call side hustles and their own businesses that they're trying to start. So it's not uncommon for a person to have multiple businesses, but Corey Blunt has done his multiple businesses in a very good way. He's done them for years, and he's diversified in ways that I like to think are healthy, and so I'm glad to have him on the show today. Corey Blunt, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right, man. Glad to be here. Hopefully, I'll be able to give some good input on entrepreneurship. O-O-R in there, but you know that's part of the evolution of being an entrepreneur. So you know, hopefully, I'll be able to help and give some good dialogue on my experiences and what can we do that what I can do to help somebody.
Well, you know, starting with that, you know, I want to jump into your first line of business that I would like to cover, and that's graduate. And so for our listeners that may be unfamiliar, can you walk them through what is graduate and then what is the mission behind graduate?
Well, graduate is a company that I am a partnership in, and the company is Graduate, G-R-A-D-U, and the number 8. And it's a company based all about education, where we want to inspire and acknowledge academic achievement. So the whole goal for this company was to come up with ways that we can acknowledge current graduates and inspire future graduates. And the company came to pass based on me being the first one in my family to ever attend a four-year school, but secondly, the first one to ever graduate from a four-year school. And I was told that by my great-grandmother, who raised me in Los Angeles, California, and Monrovia, California. So when I graduated, you know, I knew that I had broke a generational curse in my family, and I was just so proud of that accomplishment, where I wanted to try to start something that could kind of give me the ability to promote academic achievement. And I came up with the term graduate because I was a graduate, and I wanted to come up with a brand to be able to market that to inspire myself and to inspire others. So Graduate Inc. is all about acknowledging and inspiring academic achievement.
Well, you know, a lot of times people create companies based on things they're either one, attached to, or number two, they found a skill set and they believe they can bring that to the market better. For you, I would say that your inspiration came from that whole concept, but how did you decide what product or service you were going to offer based on the fact that the whole concept of graduation and its importance?
Well, it started because I had promised my great-grandmother when I signed to go to the University of Cincinnati, you know, the one thing she wanted me to do was graduate. And I told her that I was going to graduate, but going into my senior year, in the fourth quarter of my senior year, you know, I got a calling to be an NBA prospect. And in order for me to do that, I had to go to camp and go to these different tryouts. So I remember I made the call to her, you know, right before in the middle of the fourth quarter, and told her, you know, Grandma, I know I made that commitment, but I got an opportunity to play NBA ball, and I'm going to have to quit this fourth quarter to go pursue this, pursue my dream of being in the NBA. And she, you know, she didn't really understand it because she didn't think I really had the chance to go to that level. She really didn't even understand about the whole NBA process. But, you know, by me making that promise to her, I knew that education was going to be something graduation was going to be something I had to do. So I ended up going, playing, and have a successful career in the NBA. And the minute that I retired, I enrolled back at the University of Cincinnati. And when I enrolled back at the University of Cincinnati, I started taking my classes, and lo and behold, it was getting close to graduation time, and I was just like, man, you know, my great-grandmother had passed, but I wanted to do something to kind of symbolize the fact that I did it. So I had these T-shirts made that said, had to graduate a Bearcat. And, you know, at the time, I didn't really know anything about the printing game, so I just went to a printer and told him, man, I want to do these had to graduate T-shirts. And he was like, oh, man, yeah, I'll help you do it, but graphically appeasing. So we just took it from there, man, and Graduate Apparel and Graduate Promotional Products was born on that premises.
Well, you know what's fantastic, and parts of the story that I want to highlight for the listeners is that you went and you kind of stumbled into something. You stumbled into something because of where your life took you, the journey itself, but you learned some lessons about, you know, cost of products and what does it take to build out a supply chain and what does that mean to your overall bottom line and what does that do to your branding. Those were lessons that you weren't classically trained in. You kind of learned that from experience, trial and error, and essentially baptism by fire. And if you don't mind, kind of share a little bit of the stories as it relates to, you know, what did that look like from going from just a logo or a name of something and saying, no, I actually want to have a company that manufactures these items. What type of journey was that?
Well, you said trial and error and what was the other one?
Baptism by fire, yeah. Just through your experiences.
Those were the two that really focused on my point, because it was tough. You know, by me being inexperienced and not really knowing the business of T-shirts and things like that. Of course, yes, I did have the money, And I was just overcharged for everything, man. And one day I was able to go to a company, and they charged me what they charged me, and they ended up sending me their invoice for what they were getting the shirts for. And I'm looking at that invoice like, man, they killing me on this project. So I'm like, oh, my God. So I end up calling them like, you know, hey, I'm not going to tell the company, but I'm like, man, you guys sent me the wrong invoice. Oh, we apologize. Yeah, we'll send you the correct invoice. And so when I end up sending them their invoice and they sending me mine, the sales rep I was dealing with, I was just like, man, y'all really killing me on these shirts. She's like, yeah. And she ended up, like, knowing what I was trying to do with the whole graduate brand. So she said, well, let's have lunch. So we ended up going to lunch. And she kind of just walked me through what I needed to do, really, if I wanted to try to save some money. And the first thing she told me that I need to start this as a business and create a LLC in a way where you're going to be able to be a wholesaler. So you'll be able to get your products wholesale. And there's an entity that you can use to be able to do that, and it was called ASI. And ASI is a network of suppliers that once you sign up, you have access to over 5,000 suppliers and many and different promotional products. So once I joined ASI, I was able to get my t-shirts at wholesale cost. I was able to get pens, pencils, anything that was promotional product related through this network. It allowed me to create a promotional products company. And that's really how it took off. So that allowed me to go into these different screen printers and different entities where now, instead of them charging me retail, I was able to get my work and everything done at wholesale pricing.
And once you were able to do that, you obviously can grow the business because it becomes more favorable from a cost standpoint. Now you can invest into the business. You can diversify your product line. You can work on different components, whether it's technology or equipment. All of those things become valuable as it relates to growing the business. And you know, as you looked at, you know, whether it's graduate apparel or graduate promotional, even including the nonprofit Motivate to Graduate, in which you've done a lot of work there. Actually, before I ask a few questions that I want to lead the audience to, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the philanthropic work that you've been able to do over the, what, is it 13 years now? How long have you had graduate?
12 years.
12 years, to some of the philanthropic work that the company has had the ability to provide since you've been able to grow it.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot. You know, the whole premises was based on, okay, we have this graduate concept, and some people call it grad age. But so the whole emphasis was on age. And we did a lot of, me and my partner, Stephen Mincy, and my wife, we did a lot of kind of logical thinking about really what this brand encompasses. And so when you think about the number eight, it's known as the number of new beginnings. You know, so seven is luck, and then number eight is new beginnings. So when we kind of found that out, we said, well, what we want to be able to do is help people that are focused on education. We want to acknowledge them and give them that new beginning, and whatever that may mean, we want to be able to create a non-for-profit to be able to help people. And everything that we wanted to do, we wanted to be able to make a difference. So we ended up saying, okay, whatever we sell, 8% of our profit is going to this nonprofit. So we were like, well, what are we going to name it? And we kept playing with names. And then my business partners kind of hinted at, well, man, you know, we want to motivate people to graduate, so let's just call it Motivate to Graduate. And then it was, the synonym was M2G. And so from that, we started doing things like backpack drive. The first thing we wanted to do was start giving back to schools, and mostly elementary, preschool kids and junior high school kids. We started doing backpack drives and partnering with different organizations to start doing back to school backpack drives. So we did that. And then there was a situation that came up where I was able to work with the University of Cincinnati on a program where we were able to raise a lot of money. To me, based on what we did, I was able to give a $25,000 scholarship to the University of Cincinnati, and it was more based on what the event was about, because they was acknowledging what we did. We were the first, I was a part of the first team to go to the Final Four, so we had a Final Four reunion, And so we said, well, if we raise all this money, we want to be able to help former athletes who might have left school early and want to come back and don't have the means or the money to do that. So we want to be able to help them. So we did that. We ended up giving a $25,000 scholarship that's still in existence at the University of Cincinnati today. You were part of that, helping us get that going along, and was very integral in helping us, network with the university to get that done. And we've been doing things, T-shirts drives. We've been giving away a lot of inspirational T-shirts to help kids once they going back to school. You know, we got shirts that say "Job well done," or things with positive messages to keep them focused on graduating. So that's been a lot of stuff we've been doing on the nonprofit side.
Well, you know, one thing that's amazing about the work, and I want to draw this attention to the listeners, is that even though, and I'm going to use these words, you didn't, but you stumbled into your line of business. You didn't leave the NBA and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to retire so I can go do this book of business. You went into it with, man, maybe I have something here, but you didn't stop there. You started to piece together a brand that was all going in one direction. So whether it was the product line from apparel to promotional products, all of it was around branding to a concept. Even your giving supported the brand to a concept. And all of that aligns a business in a way to be recognizable in its marketplace. And so whether you knew to do that innately, or whether it just happened, either way, that is the appropriate way to build out a business, as opposed to being pulled in multiple directions and then your offering is not understood by the target market. And I think that that's been fantastic. You know, when you think about, your ups, your downs throughout the time of building out, I would say one business with three different layers. What were some of the lessons that you learned that you look back and you say, it was very important for me to learn this lesson or that lesson? What can you provide the audience as it relates to those experiences?
Well, one thing is finding the right partner and finding the right people that's willing to sacrifice along the journey. It was endearing to me, but there was a lot of sacrificing that went into keeping this company alive to this day. You have your peaks and your valleys. You have sometimes it's hot and sometimes it's cold, but you definitely want to have the right partnership and understanding the ability to be able to seek out knowledge and professional help to be able to help you understand the whole business aspect of how to stay in business, how to grow a business, the marketing, the accounting, all that has to play a part in running a business. And it's not easy, especially when you're a one or a two or a three-person show. So you want to try to align yourself with some good people. And that's kind of, my degree was in criminal justice, and I had a minor in psychology. So I had no clue on really how to run, the operations and the structuring. I had to learn all that on the fly. And it was through people, like yourself and different individuals who I was able to just bounce stuff off of, and sometimes I had to pay for help. I had to pay for counseling and getting the right information and the right tools to be able to stay in business. So it's just trying to research and find the right partners and have the right people help you along the way. I think that would be my main focus to tell someone when they're getting ready to get an entrepreneur.
Well, in my line of work, I assess businesses for a living. And in those assessments, one of the questions I ask is about the team. And it's amazing to me that when I ask a business owner about their team, they immediately think about the employees that they hire or that they have, on their payroll. And oftentimes they might mention contractors. They never mention the ancillary team being if you had to hire someone to help you out specifically. So accountants are on that, lawyers are on that, consultants are on that, on and on. And so that's not a way that they see it. But like you, I've had to hire people to come in and say, hey, doc, you may want to consider this, you need to work this like that. And I tell my listeners regularly that they shouldn't shun that behavior, although in some cases, you might not see a dollar for dollar return on that. Meaning that if you spent $5,000 on assistance, did you receive $5,000 back? in some cases, people are saying, well, heck, I wouldn't want dollar for dollar. I would want a 2-4x return on my investment to receive that help. But I think what you've been able to see, and correct me if I'm wrong or if I misspeak at any level, but just understanding what direction, having the right foundation, making sure that you avoid risk in certain situations, I think those realities are equally as important, even if you don't see the immediate dollar return. Have you felt any examples like that over your 13 years of running Graduate?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you hit it on a point. Most of the time when you get that kind of information, it's not going to be an immediate return. You know, most of the time that type of information helps you over the longevity of your business or your career. So the longer you're able to sustain your business, the longer and the more vital that counseling or that information was, because you were able to sustain your business based on that counseling or that information. So I'm with you. I don't think some things you get, it's not going to be an immediate return. But if you're able to sustain and look back over the long haul, you're going to reflect back on that particular meeting or that particular counselor or that particular individual giving you that information. And that's where it's vital, and that's where you look back and you respect that part of the business.
Yeah, you know, you talked about your degree, you know, criminal justice, minor in psychology. And so in your mind, you were not properly equipped or formally equipped. Let me change my words. You were not formally equipped to run the business. There were things that you said, I kind of had to learn on the fly. However, not everyone is nearly 7 feet tall and played in the NBA and played with big time names like Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant in that instance. And so you had some things bode well for you that you were able to leverage. So the things you didn't know, you can go get answers for that. But the things that you brought to the table was a benefit for momentum. When I think about things, for an example, when it comes to businesses, is the business owner has inherent things that they can use to leverage to push their business forward. Talk to us a little bit about how you've been able to leverage different successes in your life that you could count as quick wins or short wins that ultimately led to the sustainability that you've received and enjoyed over the last 13 years.
Well, just to piggyback on that, yeah, when I was in the NBA, you know, I had resources, and a lot of things that I needed done was getting done by individuals that I was either paying or just wanted to assist me based on me being an NBA player and making a substantial amount of money. So I was able to pay for different things and never really had to learn anything. You know what I mean? It was always somebody there to take care of things for me. So, you know, after I retired and I graduated and I got into this business, it was a totally different aspect on how to leverage who I am as far as knowledge. And the thing that I'll never forget, and this is the honest to God truth, I bought a compact computer. I want to say this was 96 or 97. And I went on there and I went on Google. And I was so excited, you know, Google, I guess it just came out. I just got it anyway. And I went I put in something and it was wrong. And I'll never forget, it wrote back on the screen, "Did you mean?" And then it spelled it the correct way and then gave me a list of the stuff that I was looking for. I said, "Oh my God." I said, "I don't have an excuse never again with this thing right here." Like, man, not only it corrected my misspelled words, but it also gave me everything that I was looking for. I said, "So this is it. This internet is the way to go as far as getting information and learning." And along with that, that's how myself, a lot of the business stuff that I've been able to figure out when I'm not getting information from people that I know or paying people, I do a lot of research and development through the internet. And some of the things that I think, to piggyback off what you asked me, was when it came to designing different t-shirts and different concepts, I got tired of paying my graphic guy $4, $15, $10, $12 because I wanted to see a color change. So I like this, but can you change it to blue? Well, then that's $25 for them to go in and just change the color to blue. And I'm like, man, I got to figure out how to do this. So So I went on the internet, found out about Adobe Illustrator, started playing with that, you know, learned Photoshop. So that was the basic stuff that I knew I needed to do if I wanted to at least be able to create or at least limit my expenses in my business by being able to at least know the basics of those things. Because as simple, and when I found out how simple it was, at a click of a button, you pull artwork up and you just click the color and it's in the design, and they charging me $25 to $35 to do that, I was blown away.
So, well, you know what's amazing is understanding your business at least the basic level, and I want to make sure that that's repeated for the purposes of the listeners. It's really knowing your business even at a basic level. You know, I have a my main business is based on my PhD in business leadership, but I'm also certified in finance. And even though I'm not a practicing financial strategist and I don't maintain all the regulations regularly, the original rationale for me being certified in finance, because I talk to business owners, I look at pro formas, I help them with financial strategy and economic decision making. And so I wanted to make sure that I was classically trained in those areas. Yeah. And because of that, that gives me a basic understanding. Now, Joe Faison is our chief financial strategist and the CFO of the business hospital. Make no mistake, he handles the bulk of all financial things that we need to accomplish. But whatever he says, whatever document he gives, I understand them. I know how to manipulate them, and I can keep up with the conversation because of the basic level. Same with my attorneys. I understand law, not enough to practice it, but I understand enough of it. So when I'm speaking with our attorneys, you know, Cole Reynolds, Marshall Dosker, when I'm speaking with them, I know what's being stated because of a basic level. And essentially, that's the advice that you're giving now for anyone in a business as a business owner is, how well do you know your business even at the basic level? We're not saying that you now are the designer, but you at least need to understand what's going on in the design realm when you're smaller. Now, obviously, if you grew your company and there was, you know, 400 employees in that company, you may not touch that part of the department ever again or not as much. However, you would be dealing with a different reality where that wouldn't even be needed and your attention would be better served elsewhere. But when you're in that space where you're 0 to 10 employees, you kind of have to have a basic understanding of how your company runs holistically. And that's something that I run into major issues with when I'm providing assessments for businesses, is that they avoid that. And that avoidance comes from a host of reasons. And really, I want to ask you a question about that. Was there ever any apprehension or anxiety or just fear to where you would say, you know what, I'm going to ignore this skill set, or I'm not going to learn this, or I'm simply just going to farm this out because I just don't want to deal with it? Was that a part of your experiences at all as either a new entrepreneur or even a seasoned one after you got past a decade?
Yeah, it was definitely part of it as a new entrepreneur, because you're really trying to control your expenses. You know, you're spending a lot of times when you're a startup company, rarely do you go get a business loan and start your business. You usually use your personal loan, your personal money, or you partner with individuals who invest their personal money. So you want to try to limit as much expense, unnecessary expenses, definitely expenses as possible. And to me, that was a eye-opening experience, because I knew, you got to realize, taking it to the bareness, the bare basics. To do a design and you got 10 colors in it, right? And you just say, man, I wonder how that look if it was green. Then you call the guy and say, man, can you let me see what this look like green. Then he sends it back. Then you say, nah, I think it looked better when it was yellow. Can you change it back yellow? $25, $25, $20, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you get this bill for this one design that you wanted to see, you done spent $200-some on to really lay it out and get it to where you want. You're like, man, I know it. I could have probably saved some money if I knew how to do that myself.
Well, you know, it's not even that one isolated event. It's extrapolated amongst multiple designs. So yeah. When you go back and you're, let's say for an example, and I'm not insinuating that you were or were not, but let's say you were a business owner that did not track your expenses closely. Now, all of a sudden, you give me a call and it's like, well, hey, Doc, I need more money. And it's like, no, you probably should scrutinize your spending with a budget and a pro forma that you can hold yourself accountable to, and you haven't, and before you know it, you spent $3,000 on design reworkups and mock-ups that you probably could have spent $100 for. And I think that's the point of the guidance that you're providing, correct?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
You know, I want to pause there for a moment. We're going to take a quick station break. And today's episode of Trending Thursdays is brought to you by Pro Elite Training. That's Pro Elite, one word, Pro Elite Training. You can find it on your Google Store and in your Play apps. You can also find it at Get Pro Elite Train or GetProElite.com. Learn how to train with professional athletes to increase your rhythm, tempo, and pace, whether you want to learn how to dribble a basketball, play football, throw a three-punch combo with self-defense, or just have a really good workout. Pro Elite Training is the only app that trains your muscle memory to increase your rhythm, tempo, and pace. It is a freemium model, so you get hundreds of drills for free. You can work out with our athletes such as Trey Burke of the Houston Rockets, all the way to bare knuckle champion Tony Johnson Jr. Once again, that's Pro Elite Training, GetProElite.com. So if you just joined the radio show, we are brought to you with, or we're bringing to you, Corey Blunt, 11-year NBA veteran, also a serial entrepreneur, owner of Graduate, a promotional product and apparel company based around the concept of graduation and completion and fostering a sense of completion amongst all people. And he's given us a fantastic story of how he created the company and some of the trials and tribulations of growing that business. If you want to ask Corey any questions or if you want to join the dialogue, you can at 859-291-2255. If you want to send a message of any type, you can do so at info@drbaker.us. And so, Corey, we talked a lot about Graduate, but I want to transition a little bit. And you own a pizza restaurant. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm a partner in that. It's a partnership with that. It's Happy's Pizza. And it was brought to me through a good friend of mine and business partner, associate Floyd Walker. You know, he came to me pretty much, you know, as an athlete, my image and recognition is part of my business, if you get what I'm saying. So a lot of times people come to me not really looking for capital investment or anything like that, but just saying, hey, man, would you mind, would you like to be a part of this? This is what I got going on. Would you be interested in taking on, you know, a kind of like a licensing aspect on leveraging who you are with my business? And that's how it was with Happy's. You know, Floyd came to me, said he was interested in buying this restaurant. And, you know, like there was another scenario where I didn't know anything about the fast food restaurant. But I did own a sports bar at one time. So I had a little knowledge in operations of food and beverages. So it was a good time. It was an opportunity. So we ended up solidifying the deal with Happy's Pizza. You know, and we took it full on with the responsibility of just trying to grow and get recognition about the food and the restaurant. And so far, it's been real good. I liked it, liked being involved in it for one aspect. It had a real diverse menu. It wasn't just pizza. It's Happy's Pizza, but they sell a multiple of great items, chicken wings, hamburgers, you know, shrimp, fish, you know. So that's one another thing that attracted me to taking on this opportunity to be a partner in Happy Pizza.
Well, you know, talk to us a little bit about the differences in business ownership, because one is a brand, and that brand had to find the right product to promote its brand. Another one is established, but also a competitor in a space that's already crowded and saturated. What's the difference in the approach with Happy's as opposed to Graduate? Let's start with that. And then the follow-up question is, you know, not only just the approach, but what are the differences that you see when you're operating Happy, and what has that done to you as a business owner?
Well, one thing about that, it's a community franchise business. So what I mean by community, it's a national franchise, but it's really focused to this particular community, and we're in College Hill. So our focus is really to gain attention and get people to really like our food in that immediate area. Now, we do want to cater to the whole city of Cincinnati, but we know that our core c- customer is right there, 5 mile radius in College Hill. So we go out our way to really try to be a part of the community. We go out our way to try to, you know, market and stay in tune with what's going on in the community. And that's the difference of, we're not a national, we don't have TV commercials. We don't have radio play, but we do, we put flyers in that immediate area. We talk to people, we have events and different things like that to stay in tune with what's going on in the community so they can be fully aware that Happy Pizza is here to service them and also give them great food. So that's for me the aspect of this business. You know, graduate, I want everybody in the world to have access to graduate apparel and graduate promotional products and graduate, you know, items. But with Happy's, it's more of a community-based business.
Well, you know, when you talk about building business, especially in community, you know, one of them, you're looking at brick and mortar, because graduate doesn't have to have brick and mortar. And I mean, it's more about your manufacturing and having those products ordered through e-commerce or delivery. So your distribution channel is a little different. Here, you're dealing with a different level of customer service because you're B2C in this instance a lot more than graduate. And in that instance of B2C is that how you build out your infrastructure, your human capital management, all of that is different. And what new lessons have you learned about this side of operations as opposed to the other business?
Employees. Yeah, that's basically it. You know, graduate, it was a three to four man operation, where now you're looking at dealing and working with 12 to 15 people, you know, different shifts, inconsistency in work habits as far as the high turnover in fast food. You know, all those are learning aspects that I've been able to understand owning and being a partner in Happy Pizza. That's really the dynamic that kind of I had to grow and learn again on how to, you know, deal with that and understand that dichotomy of that business.
Well, you know, a lot of people say that, and I've heard it so much, actually almost ad nauseum, that their people are the most important. But when you look at the infrastructure of the company, that tells a very different story. And with you transitioning into the space this way, you know, you've got your partner Floyd Walker there, and both of you, I imagined, are charged with who works at the restaurant, how you deal with your pipeline of workers in the event that there's turnover, how do you deal with scheduling, on and on and on. And then how big of a learning curve was that for both of you? And then, you know, you talked about how large that was, but, you know, how do you compare that to other realities that might be, you know, crippling to a business, such as cost management, supply chain? You know, how do you compare and rank those realities?
Well, I mean, the way we structured is that I take on most of the behind the scenes stuff and he handles the everyday operation. And, you know, for me, based on the situation, I end up coming in every now and then to play in his field, and every now and then he comes to play in my field. So the learning of dealing with those people and then understanding the operations of ordering the food, making sure that it's consistent, you know, making sure the employees are doing what they're supposed to do. You know, you got the delivery drivers, you got to make sure that they have insurance, you know, all the things that's necessary to run that business that I didn't know. I had to learn on the fly, on the curve, once I took on that the partnership. You know, when we went to corporate to sign the deal, they just gave us a manual. Here you go, read this. I know telephone books don't exist no more, but that's pretty much what they handed me, a telephone book. So, you know, I didn't read all that. So it was just learning on the fly and learning from some mistakes, you know. And we've been able to learn from our mistakes and continue to grow the business.
Well, you know, when you talk about mistakes, and I was just having a dialogue earlier today regarding wisdom. I went and I saw Bullet Train over the weekend. I was in Washington, D.C. and went and caught a movie while I was out there. And I didn't think that the movie was going to be that great. I was uncertain, but I went and surprised. You know, I thought it was fantastic. Now, this is not my endorsement. I tell all my listeners to go see Bullet Train, but there is a portion of the movie that I want to mention. And there's an old shogun samurai type that is going against one of the antagonists. And the antagonist is a young mastermind, you know, in the early 20s. And the shogun, the samurai, if you will, kind of said, look, you think that you know what's going on here. You know, you call me old man. I'm not an old man. I've just survived a lot more than you have.
Man.
And, you know, and what I thought was amazing about that is his plan was significantly better than hers.
Right.
Because of what he had survived. And so when I think about the story that you're telling regarding what you're learning in Happy's, is that, yes, there could be a scenario where it's trial and error. You are learning, but you've already learned some lessons from Graduate.
Man.
And in that instance, did you use that? And have you seen yourself calling on some of those, you know, older experiences to say, oh, I've seen this movie before, or I've been in this situation before, or the last time this thing happened, has that been a reality for you as you run this business?
Definitely. And on the aspect of, like I said, I owned a sports bar for a minute, and I was a partner in that. And the one partner, he didn't hold his composure very well. So when something got out of line, he was real frantic. He was real boisterous. He just made the whole situation a tense situation. So what I learned from now that I'm at Happy's, and what I learned from that was, now that I'm in this space, like, sometimes it's best to be smooth and calm when you're dealing with people to be able to get a good response or a positive learning experience from the failure or from the disappointment that they might be given to you. So I'm more of a guy that now, instead of snapping on guys who not doing what they're supposed to do or not following code, I'm more of a educator, or more of a milder guy, where I'm just like, well, look, man, you didn't do this, but there's always a but now. Let's go look at the book, or let's work on, let me show you how it should be done. You know, and I think that comes from just the experience of knowing that I do need this person. And I'm fully aware that this person might not be playing on the level that I'm playing on. But through my expertise now, I'm more able to deal with it. Before, I'd have been like my other partner and going off and, like, I don't want to say belittling them, but in a sense, that's how I was back then. Like, so,
well, yeah. You know, that's going back to our statement about how important are your people. And a lot of people say that they are, but behaviors might demonstrate otherwise, just like, there's a lot of people that say that, you know, finances are important to them, but when you look at how they structure their economics, there's a different story being told. And as business owners, we have to be mindful of all the aspects. You know, one thing that we cover with our business assessments is I've created a 22-step proprietary business exam that has been demonstrated as very, very valuable and useful for every type of business, regardless of industry. And I bring that up to say that when we go through these 22 steps, essentially, which is a business audit, if you will, is that it's covering the entire scope of the business. And it's amazing that when you look at your business, every component is vital to your long-term existence. You know, you mentioned a few things with Happy's. You said, well, hey, dealing with employees was something you were not used to doing in this space. And you had to learn that. But if you don't have great employees, it's impossible to have great customer service.
Man.
In the event that you don't understand your finances, you will run out of money and your company will crater. Yes. You talked about having a neighborhood establishment where you're not a national chain with high-level budgets for marketing on a national scale to drive awareness. So your marketing plan and your sales plan has to look significantly different. So therefore, you are out in the community, whether it's flyers or events, but you're participating where they are to pull them in. And so once again, if you don't do all the stuff, junk and things, it becomes very difficult to run the company. And so therefore, having a holistic awareness of all of the attributes, the elements that you need as a business owner to put into the business, well, that sets you up for risk and ultimately, in many cases, statistics show, for failure. talk to us a little bit about, with this new venture of yours, what have you considered to be some of your short-term wins that you've been able to leverage that maybe you didn't see coming out the gate, but you were like, man, I didn't know this was going to happen, or you know what, I'm glad this happened, or I'm glad I ran into them. Has there been any examples like that that's giving you momentum to keep pushing Happy's forward?
Yeah, I think it's having the ability to cater to corporate events. I didn't see that. You know, I never thought that a company like Target would order 150 pizzas from us. You know, I came in thinking that we were going to be servicing families and doing small events, but having the ability to cater to some of these major companies with our small little restaurant, that's really been the most eye-opening part. And then them responding saying that, oh man, the food was pretty good, and they reordered again. You know, that was like an awe moment for me. Like, man, we got to get more corporate accounts. We got to start letting more big businesses taste our food and try our food. You know, I mentioned earlier, I was just focused on the community and the small little, you know, family mom and pop stores around there. And then through some relationships and some opportunities came where we were able to do stuff with the mayor of Cincinnati. And it was just like, okay, man, this might be, you know, this might work. This might be bigger than what I thought it was. So that was one of the eye-opening moments for me.
Well, you know, and that's looking at the diversity of your offering. And if you listeners are out there, these are actually solutions and remedies that we're providing here, everything from strategic partnerships to distribution channels. And I know that in some cases, these aren't words that we use every day in our business, but if you just think about them, how many different ways can you get your product and service to your target audience, the people that you intend to make money from? And so you have to look at your business in a multitude of ways. And once you got hit with that, Corey, you're talking a scenario where it was not on your radar that you would present your products to them, but now that they're on your radar, it opens up your radar. Yeah. You're like, well, heck, if they do it, and maybe someone else will, maybe we should just not play in the community, but we could offer these flyers to other individuals, other organizations and entities that can catapult our business further and then create more of a name recognition amongst this region at a higher level, which increases your sustainability. I'm certain that that had to come across. What about some of, you know, the things that you've done? And I'm not asking for you to air out any laundry, but were there anything that you looked at and said, and we probably should not have done that, or man, that really backfired, or that didn't work the way in which we anticipated? Are there any simple or generic examples of that you can provide?
When we took ownership of the business, you know, all the employees, we were thinking that they were going to be with us for the long haul. You know, new owners, exciting, man. We had a big event, grand opening. We talked to everybody that was working there previously. You know, man, we're excited. We put money into the building, cleaned up the whole area, and just knew that these individuals were going to be there for the long haul. So we made the decision that we were going to pay for everybody to get certified. And what that is, you know, for you to be able to get a certification saying that you're a certified food prep or preparer through the state, which you can take this certificate and go to any restaurant, and based on that CERB certificate, that kind of pushes you in line to get a job if you ever needed to utilize that. So we thought that the individuals that we had, we wanted them to take this, get certified, not just for our business to look good, but it would show them that, man, we're really in trying to help you guys improve yourself at the same time. And we took on that expense, and it wasn't cheap. And when I look back at it, out of the 13 people that we paid for to complete that course, there's only one still with us. So
wow, okay.
That's one thing I look back like, man, now that was, I won't say it was a lot of, it was money wasted, but it was money wasted because we really didn't get the benefit, the full benefit of what we thought we were going to get by paying for those individuals to get certified?
Well, you talk about, you know, benefits, and I want to switch the conversation real quick in our limited time. But, you know, being athletes and former athletes and how the landscape has changed, what are your thoughts concerning NFTs, which I know the audience might say, what the heck are we talking about? How did we switch so dramatically? But non-fungible tokens, which is one of these trending realities. And what are your thoughts? Or is there any participation from your side? What would you like to say regarding NFTs?
Yeah, I'm considered to myself old school, you know. So when I say old school, I'm 50 plus. So I'm thinking, you know, it's new stuff as far as NFTs and cryptocurrency is not really intended for old guys. But in a sense, it really is, because it's another form of investing dollars. And as an old guy, you know, we know about the stock market. We know about investing in stocks and bonds and, you know, CDs and different certificates of deposits, all these different old forms of investing, you know, the typical real estate. But now this cryptocurrency and this these NFTs and this metaverse is really starting to bring life into existence and starting to be mainstream. And I'm a component of really learning. I'm a big fan of cryptocurrency. When I learned about the real dynamic of why it was created, I think it was a long overdue project or program or whatever you want to call it that's needed in these times. And I'm really interested in learning and being involved in cryptocurrency. I am an investor in some cryptocurrency projects. I'm also an investor in some NFTs projects that I'm really liking at this point. Of course, just like any other investment, it has its peaks and valleys, but that's life, you know. So I'm one of those guys who understand that, and you know, I evaluate my risk and my rewards and getting into things. And so I'm really excited about these NFTs and the projects that I'm involved with. One of them is a NFT project called Bad Bone Ballers, which is a NBA basketball NFTs that are not really structured on the NBA, but just artistic designs based off basketball. So that's one of the projects. And then I'm also involved in another one called Archie Nico, which is a cryptocurrency that I fell in love with based off the utilities that the developer put behind it, that I think is going to definitely be a really good investment.
Well, you know, you talk about investing, and from a business owner standpoint, a lot of times we're scrapping in order to reinvest into the business. However, for those that have gotten on the other side of the mountain, and I'm not saying that you're wealthy, but business is under control fiscally, you're responsible year over year, you have some increases, and let's say there are dollars, and you say, okay, where do I put my dollars? Well, there's a lot of vehicles that are competing for attention. When I say vehicles, you know, your traditional stocks, where you can buy individual stocks and trade those yourself, or maybe I'm a financial advisor, that's one. You can look into more aggressive version of stocks, which are options, and that's another. But then you start looking at real estate, cryptocurrency, non-fungible tokens, aka NFTs, and now all of a sudden you're not sure which direction to go. I think what's important about what you had stated, Corey, was that understanding the risk involved, your tolerance, and then the market itself, having a good level of education to make a good decision on where you should participate. You know, sometimes, you know, you might be a business owner and you've realized a bonus, or maybe you brought in more dollars this year than you did in other years. And you're saying, hey, I don't want to just, you know, go on a bunch of vacations, or I don't want to buy a bunch of stuff, jumping things. I actually would like to put my money somewhere in a vehicle that would earn me more dollars. Well, now there's more diverse methods and ways of doing so. But in doing so, we have to be smarter about how do we participate, because just as much as you can earn, you can certainly lose. I know that I've lost on investments throughout the years and had to scratch my bald head and say, what did I miss? But sometimes it's only a part of it. You know, if anyone was in the market at all this year, and we've dealt with our inflation. We've dealt with, you know, the issues with the war in Ukraine, the pandemic. You would have lost money even in standard methods. Even if you would have gone with the S&P 500, you would have suffered. And that is a very good barometer on how to casually invest or just be as safe as you possibly can. You know, is there any additional advice in our limited amount of time regarding NFTs or cryptos and your mindset of, is this about a trend or do you believe that these things are going to be here to stay so our participation is actually needed?
Yeah, it's two scenarios that I could say. I don't know anybody that have ever learned how to swim without sticking their toe in the water first. So what I'm saying is that sometimes you don't just have to dive in. Just put your toe in there and see how the water feels first. You know, take baby steps. And that's all I've done. I don't have a bunch of money, you know, to be throwing into to these investments. But, you know, I think the fact that once you take that leap of faith or put your toe in the water, now you allow yourself to say, well, now I can learn about this because I'm invested in it. You know, a lot of times when you invest in the stock market, yeah, you might buy some shares of, I'm going to just say GE. But do you really go look and learn about that company and learn the facets of everything it's doing? Nah, you know, your financial advisor or some company at your bank or somewhere, they do all that. So with cryptocurrency and these NFTs and it being so new, this is a good opportunity for entrepreneurs and individuals who are looking to diversify or learn some different ways of investing. It is a good time to do that because it's so new. And, you know, I'm not a fan of stagnation. I don't just try to stick to the script on nothing. I've always been somebody that's willing to try different things. You know, when I look at my basketball career, the only reason I was able to be successful in that because I stepped out on a leap of faith.
Well, real quick, Corey Blunt, before we go, we got a few moments before we have to end the segment. Best way for anybody to get to you, give us 10 seconds.
I'm on Twitter. You know, it ain't hard to find me, Corey Blunt at Twitter. My Facebook is Corey Blunt. You know, I have no nicknames or nothing like that. And then my business is, you know, you can go to graduateapparel.com to kind of get a feel for what we're doing in the apparel space. And if you want to get some food, you can go to happies.com. And happypizza.com and learn about Happy's Pizza. So that's the best.
Fantastic. Corey, thank you so much for joining the show. Very great insight, especially from a serial entrepreneur person as successful as you. Everyone, I'm Dr. Baker. This is Doctor's Orders. This has been Trending Thursday. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for Financial Freedom Friday.
Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677. By email at info@drbaker.us. You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.